Self-evaluation and collaborative inquiry. Part 2. In part 1, we looked at an overarching rationale based on me and how to improve my teaching via me identifying my needs and me in collaboration with colleagues, both school-based and beyond, structuring a process of personal professional development. I obviously accentuated the me because that means a whole lot in how teacher development should unfold. And I concede that this may not reflect the context and circumstances of many others. In some contexts, self-evaluation and personal development is not viewed as an unfolding and untold story that allows me and I to narrate my own thoughts, my own reflections, to make my own CPD and personal development needs and wants to become loud. However, this management leadership is as flawed as is the notion that research and collaborative inquiry processes equate solely to a know thy impact endgame, worshipping solely at an altar of outcomes, which in turn are driven and built by a school development plan and a school improvement plan. There's much more to self-evaluation than that. And sometimes to reduce it to such, for me, to reduce it to such narrow and limited focus is actually so counterproductive, because it supersedes me as a person, it supersedes me as a teacher, supersedes me as a professional, and actually I become a conduit to data. And it erodes further, ironically, collectively forging a culture of trust and respect. So what I want to focus on this post is other aspects of how we've moved away from that type of culture in my present context, and how we are looking at developing self-evaluation and teacher development in a way that respects and builds upon the trust and professionalism and strengths that we believe many of our staff already have. It's certainly not an exhaustive list. It's not for people to look at as a model to emulate. It's merely a point in time, which means it will still develop in so many different ways. So we looked previously at the TLC and moving away from an LA Central model and focusing on the development of lesson study. In part one, we also looked at the four inquiry groups that were looking at key aspects of pedagogy. These are the nature and role of feedback, homework, staff and pupil and parent expectations, memory research and classroom pedagogy. Collectively, this involves 36 staff, and the energy and desire to engage in this has been wonderful to watch. Readings have been given out, reading times being given, and a framework of entire inquiry and data capture have been given. And I'll feed back in a later post on what the initial findings from these groups are. I also spoke about our blog Friday, which allows us to link a lot of what we do in our inquiry groups. It also allows people to, beyond the inquiry groups, to have heard of Carol Dweck and Willingham Bjork, and perhaps view that they may have a role in our lives, and certainly have a role in the lives of colleagues at school beyond the label of the esoteric, i.e. those who have given up their time to help an inquiry. It's not just them that will benefit. We want to take it beyond that. So now I'm going to look at other dots in this picture, which I think are equally vital cogs in connecting and creating a culture of reflection and self-evaluation. We've had two internal teach meets, and at each of those we've had 35 plus colleagues giving up their time after school to come and watch and listen to others. Where we have 7-minute presentations and then 7 minutes in between each presentation to allow for question and answer. And these have helped us focus on aspects of our inquiry, people presenting on what dirt means, what growth mindset and fixed mindset means, RAG 1, 2, 3, and different processes of tracking and monitoring. And this allows us to link the inquiry to our role as teachers to the wider staff. And I think that's a really inclusive part, that inquiry is not just seen as a role for people who want to do it. It's not seen as an esoteric research, but it has validity to a wider members of staff. So we're looking forward to having two more of these this year and possibly make them even bigger and involve our cluster group in this. We also have a very well-stocked professional development library for staff. We've got over 160 books and an equal number of research articles and journal articles. And this list will be emailed to staff very, very soon. And we have just finished our Descartes cart, as we are calling it, our mobile library of books and journals, which will be soon wheeling its way around the corridors once per week, hoping to encourage staff to engage in some reading. In tandem with that, we have open access to the EBSCO database via the GTCS, and staff can access a whole variety of e-books, journal articles and research articles for free, both at home and at work. So we're actively encouraging the use of that also. Not just for inquiry, but actually for reading, for the sake of reading. If that's the end point, that in itself is worthwhile. So we've now got around 8 dots, and these 8 dots of self-evaluation are starting to grow into a constellation of self-evaluation and inquiry, and that will continue to grow. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a starting point, and what lies behind that in terms of values and the rationale as to why we are creating a self-evaluation culture like this is that we want to trust staff to build upon strengths rather than looking and focusing at deficits and saying, well, we will measure improvement, but we want staff to look at their own improvement. We want to encourage staff and colleagues to be able to say, well, I came out of that class and I feel a lot better about how I provided feedback, and this is why. So this inquiry and self-reflection and teacher development is an ongoing process. It's not an end game. It's not an know thy impact only stage play. The artisan and the craft of teaching still relies on science and inquiry to further its understanding of the possibilities, but it doesn't define teaching as a scientific entity. Inquiry and self-reflection and teacher development can still pay homage to an accumulated wealth of knowledge and understanding and of craft that has developed over centuries, but it can still respectfully open such things to inquiry and scrutiny. It respects the role of the practitioner, but it sees this role within relationship with research as a sustainable relationship, not a quick fix. A sustainable relationship with the right support and the right encouragement and the right ethos of self-evaluation and teacher development allows teachers to play a key role in a protected risk. And sorry, in a protected risk culture. It's okay to try something, even if it doesn't work. And the key words in that are a protected risk-taking culture. And that's how we want our self-evaluation and collaborative inquiry processes to develop. I hope some of that's been helpful. And I'm going to blog on, in term three, I'm going to blog on how we've kind of expanded those 8 dots into other dots and look to see how we've connected them into a constellation of self-evaluation. Thank you for listening. Take care.